Hello, hello, and good Sunday to everybody. This is a very posh show, and I'm joined by a very special guest today, Mr. Daniel and Hargis?
Yep.
Okay, I just want to make sure I was saying that right.
Yeah.
If you want to introduce yourself, give us a quick spiel on who you are.
Okay, my name's Daniel Hargis. I went to the University of Laverne, a small school out in Laverne. A lot of people ask that question, where is it?
It's in Laverne. Is that, is that Northern California?
Mm-mm.
Where is it?
No, it's only like 40 minutes east of here.
Okay.
If you go to the LA County Fair, the campus is like right by there.
So I'm an Orange County kid, so okay. my LA area geography is just awful. But
yeah, the IE, the Inland Empire, represent.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Laker fan, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
You're wearing a yellow sweater, yellow hat.
I've been a Laker fan my whole life. My first memories are of like when they won in the early 2000s.
Those are good times.
Yeah, I remember like watching Shaq during like post game interviews, and there's like his head was so sweaty and wet. I like wasn't sure if it was like obviously I was young. I was like 10. I was like, is that water? Is he sweating? Like I've never seen somebody covered in so much liquid before. But so yeah,
I definitely had the Shaq sweat glands because I would do like one lap in basketball and just be drenched.
Same, yeah.
So I definitely feel for him. Yeah. So you said you're a Laker fan.
Yeah.
You said you've been a Laker fan since the early 2000s. So you've seen a Laker fight or two. Rick Fox, Doug Christie being probably the most famous one before last night. So last night, the Dubonnet Spitgate, did you see it?
Yes.
Okay. Any thoughts? Because I like, you know the gif of Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia where he has like all the pinpoints on the wall and he's like explaining everything?
Yeah.
I did this all morning, like just trying to see what was going on. What are your thoughts? What do you think? What's your verdict on who was there spit? Who was the spitter? Who was in the right? Who was in the wrong?
Obviously, at first glance, I don't think anybody saw a spit. I know I didn't. I was watching it live. First off, props to Brandon Ingram. Quiet, soft-spoken guy. Come in, trying to throw a haymaker. Didn't land, I think. But, effort was there.
He came in full cock. He was running.
Yeah, I was like, dude, Brandon Ingram, soft-spoken guy, but, getting after. To be honest, even watching the replays, I'm like, I'm not convinced that it even happened, personally.
I was there. I was 100% in the there was no spit. That, so here's the like how I saw it. At first I thought, oh wait, did Rondo spit? Because like Chris Paul went nuts with the finger in the face and all that. And you see Chris Paul like wipe his face a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So at that I was like, wait, is that Rondo? Then I looked and then I started hearing like Rondo was losing his mind. He hated these accusations, all that. So I thought, okay, maybe it wasn't Rondo. Then I saw a video that it could have been Melo, because, like, Melo was... So the ref walks behind... I'm telling you, I went full conspiracy theory on this.
No kidding.
Ref went behind Rondo, and Melo is yelling at the ref, and when the ref goes behind Rondo, Melo's face turns towards the ref, and as he's yelling, like, maybe some spit came out, and then as he's yelling, that's when Chris Paul wipes his face.
Mm.
Then... The Rockets today released a video where it looks like they zoom in on Rondo's face and it looks like some spit is going. I don't know. So a part of me thinks it might be Photoshopped, but like,
I mean,
I don't know.
Spitting, man, that's a pretty low thing to do. I don't really care in what situation you're in, So I'd like to think that nobody's doing that on purpose, I mean, dudes are all sweaty. We just talked about Shaq. Dudes are sweaty. Maybe it could have been sweat. I don't know. And I don't know. He obviously didn't, like, hawk a loogie or anything.
I don't think it definitely wasn't a, like, I'm gonna spit in your face and then spit type thing. I do think it might have been an accidental one, just saliva builds up in the mouthpiece, you're yelling, you're barking back and forth to someone, some spit might come out. But I had a friend or a cousin who's a Laker fan, and he was like, I'm for it. If it was spit, it was spit. Like, I'm for it. And I'm like, dude, spitting is one of the lowest things. Like, I would be pissed at Kobe if Kobe spat in Paul Pierce's face in, like, 2008. Like, even in a most extreme situation, you can't condone spitting.
But the fight in general, I have to say, I think it's pretty cool, honestly, in the sense that it, like, sets the tone. Like, the Lakers aren't going to be pushed around anymore. you know. So I'm pretty happy about that. You know, they're here, they're ready to play. Also, I thought it was funny LeBron James is doing it for the banana boat, trying to, you know, break everything up.
Yeah, I was saying, thank God he was there. He, because not many people can, like, grab Chris Paul and move him to the side. Because Chris Paul, that guy's a bulldog. Like, you get near him, he's going to sock you in the face. But LeBron was just like, nope, I'm grabbing my friend. I'm getting out.
Yeah.
There was one part, though, that if Brandon Ingram gets... So I think Brandon Ingram maybe like 5-game suspension because of the full cock.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say it. When you like cock back your arm and you're getting ready to to go in. But there was one part where the ref, where Brandon Ingram was yelling at the ref, and Brandon Ingram gets like chest to chest with the ref, who's like a foot shorter than him, and staring him down. And like Lance Stevenson just runs like, get this guy out of here. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? If he gets a lot of suspensions, I think that's, like, a player can't, like, go chest-to-chest with a ref and, like, stare him down. But yeah, LeBron pushed him out of the way. Stevenson dove out of the way. There was one thing I also wanted to say. Oh, yeah, I was watching for Lonzo. Because do you remember last season, there was, like, a little scuffle. And, like, Lonzo just went straight to the bench.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, Lonzo is, like, he's not there for the team.
Yeah.
But I think in this one, I think he learned his lesson. Because in this one, he doesn't leave the fight, which... honestly, is not an immature thing to do. Like, you're just like, screw it, I'm out of here. Yeah. I'm not gonna fight. But he actually stayed on the court this time. Was like talking to Brandon Ingram. Like, it seemed like he had a rapport with Brandon Ingram, which I was pretty excited for.
Another couple of surprises. Lance Stevenson, he didn't really do much. Carmelo Anthony, he kept it pretty cool. He just grabbed Ingram after he tried to punch. And, like, I mean, I think both those guys are capable of being a little bit more violent than that, you know? So.
Yeah, Lance Stevenson, especially because he has that reputation of, kind of, I don't want to say dirty, but he has reputations of, like, people will call out his play and be like, oh, is that dirty? Like, it's questioned a lot. So he was very mature on that. He, like, held people back. He played his role as the vet, which is why we got the vet bulldog.
Yeah.
Little did we know it was going to be Rondo, but, like, throwing the punches and stuff. Yeah. But so suspensions. If you had to guess, if you're Adam Silver and you have to give suspensions to Rondo, Chris Paul, and Brandon Ingram, who gets the most, who gets the least? What's your thought process?
Rondo's getting the most because he connected for sure on that jab.
The left and then an uppercut?
Yeah, so he's got to get the most. In terms of numbers, and I guess I between 5 and 10, I mean, 10's obviously a lot.
Yeah.
So I would say like around like the 5 range. I would say Ingram would be second because he intended on doing some damage. And then Chris Paul, I mean, he's the instigator, but in my eyes, maybe I'm biased. But at the same time, he did the least.
Yeah, I mean, finger in the face, you put your finger in anyone's face, they're going to throw a punch at you. Like, the way he did it, too, it wasn't like me, like, doing that, which would be disrespectful if I put it to your face. But if someone, like, is pushing their finger into your cheek and stuff, you gotta hit them back. Like, you can't do that. But I think in terms of everything, it was just a misunderstanding. Whether it was, like, Rondo had a saliva buildup and while they're yelling at each other, spit goes, whether it was Melo, I don't think anyone intentionally spat on each other. Mm-hmm. But, and I wanted to bring this up because I sometimes like to look at the silver lining of things. Obviously, like, fighting isn't always good, but sometimes it can bring a team together, things like that. One thing that I was really excited for is the idea that Rondo is going to sit out for a little bit, and there might be an easier transition of Lonzo becoming the starting point guard.
Yeah, okay.
Because it was driving me nuts. I know Lonzo's back from injury, but like game one, Lonzo, he was out of it. Like, he was playing with low energy. Second game, I thought Lonzo's starting now. No, it's still Rondo. Then the thoughts start creeping. Like, does Lonzo have to take that spot back, or like?
I mean, competition breeds success. Huh?
But we have him for the future. He's our point guard of the future. But I do agree, Rondo's been playing better. Like, any way you look at it, Rondo's been playing better. But I think now it's an easier transition for Lonzo. And with Brandon out, too, Brandon Ingram, now LeBron has another young guy. Because LeBron's been really chummy-chummy with Brandon Ingram. Now with Brandon Ingram out, maybe him and Lonzo can gain more of a rapport. Lonzo's now starting. I think silver lining-wise, that'll be pretty solid for him.
Okay. I think out of the young guys, I feel like LeBron's taken Brandon Ingram under his wing the most. Obviously, it helps that Brandon's starting and playing most of the minutes out of those guys. But I also think that Ingram, I've always liked Ingram a lot, and I think he has probably the greatest potential. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward with all of this, to see, yeah, Lonzo and LeBron working a lot together, obviously both ball-dominant players. It'll be interesting to see how that all works out. I don't know, do you think, is Kuzma going to come in and start now, do you think, or Josh Hart?
What? Oh, with Ingram out. I didn't think, so Lonzo's definitely starting at the point guard, yeah. And then, so basically the choices are do a KCP, Josh Hart, 2-3. Mm-hmm. Or go big and go Kyle Kuzma at the three, which I kind of like Kyle Kuzma.
You gotta
go
Kuzma.
I think I go with that. But I mean, Luke might try to fiddle around with it because Kuzma is going to be our sixth man for most of the year. So maybe Luke does something in terms of I want Kuz off the bench at all times. Maybe put in a worse starter, play less minutes, but just like keep him in the flow.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, I think Josh Hart will start. But my guess would be Kuz, or my hope would be Kuzma.
Yeah.
I think that's the best starting lineup we can put out right now. So we've been talking about in the context of the fight, in the context of the suspensions, people getting more minutes. But just in general, preseason to now, we've played two games so far, lost both of them, unfortunately. But what are some things, are there players that have surprised you in a good way or anything that you've seen and you've just been like, huh, that's interesting, I didn't expect that?
You know, obviously Josh Hart, I think he's been the surprise because if you had to rank the young core, I think he goes at the bottom, you know, at least in terms of how much he gets talked about, how much people, I guess, hype him up, for lack of a better term. I mean, obviously, he wasn't the first one to make a three, I think, in the first game, right? He wasn't the one to break the streak. I think it was Rondo. But still, yeah. Hart's been probably the most consistent three-point shooter. He's really aggressive. His finishing, I think, around the rim has been pretty incredible. Obviously, the Lakers are scoring probably 70% of their points in the paint. But still, I mean, you got to make those layups and stuff, and it's not like they're, you know, it's not a layup line, it's contested. So, and like, he's patient, I feel like, you know, he doesn't make too many mistakes, except for that glaring mistake on the inbounds pass last night. Oh my God. And of course, he makes the 3-2. That's just basketball. Yeah. That's how basketball goes. And then, Brandon Ingram, man, I'm really happy so far for him, because mostly, he hasn't been hitting a lot of his shots, obviously, but I still think that he's still going to do well, and it's all going to start on the defensive end for him. He's been so disruptive. Obviously, I think a lot of people will remember that preseason game against the Kings when he tortured Cameron Reynolds on the inbounds. If he can just be disruptive on defense like that, use his length to his advantage, you know, get in the passing lanes, contest shots, all that stuff, you know, he can rely on that no matter what. And he can start there and get his confidence from that. And he's going to get those open looks, you know, from the corner. I saw some stat. He shoots really well from, you know, corner threes, all that stuff. It's been two games, man. He's going to start. He's going to hit those shots. There's 80 games left.
You brought up a point, or you said something that kind of caught my attention, of Josh Hart being at the bottom of the, or at least in terms of talked about, of the young core. Obviously there have been rumors, and this is kind of an aside, so apologies, but there have been rumors of Anthony Davis got the same agent, has the same agent as LeBron now. Mm-hmm. If you were to, first off, A, would you trade the young core for, not all four, but would you trade major pieces of the young core for Anthony Davis? And if you would, who is the one person of the four young guys we have that you're like, no matter who we're trading for, we do everything to avoid trading that guy?
Again, I think you do everything you can to keep Brandon Ingram. However, if you're going to get Anthony Davis, I don't know how they don't demand that Ingram's a part of that trade.
Sure.
But, and I also, I mean, dude, you can get Anthony Davis, man. He's an MVP candidate. You gotta get him. He's next level.
I 100% agree. And there's so many fans who are like, let's just wait till his next contract is done. And I'm like, his next contract is done in 3 years. And like, so much can happen in 3 years.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, honestly, if it's a Kuzma and Ingram for Davis trade or Kuzma and Lonzo, Brandon Ingram would be a tough one for me to a tough pill for me to swallow. I'd probably still do it, but
yeah. That
was just something when you were saying the four guys, something I was interested in hearing about.
Yeah, I guess being at the bottom kind of keeps you outside of being traded, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Less in demand. Which, I mean, if we can keep Josh Hart in that situation, I think Josh Hart's going to be a pretty solid player.
Heck yeah.
One thing I harped on a lot before preseason, when the season was starting, the Lakers center situation.
Oh, man.
We only have a JaVale McGee. In the first two games of the season that you've been seeing, what have been your thoughts on the Lakers' center situation? Is it something that you think we really need to take care of ASAP, or something we can wait on a little bit?
I think we can wait on it, honestly. I was talking with one of my friends last night watching the game, talking about, you know, where do we need to make a move first? Should it be to get another center, or should it be to get, like, a 3-and-D kind of guy? I think it should be a center, but we also haven't seen Mo Wagner play yet. So hopefully he can work out. But, you know, we'll see. I don't know. Michael Beasley didn't play last night. DNP CD yeah. for him. And also, going back to the fight, if he was on the floor, who knows what would happen. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think that's got to be the glaring weakness so far is, you know, that center spot, because outside of JaVale, I mean, Kuzma, man, he's not going to be it for me. He's not going to be that backup five. And just lastly, LeBron doesn't want to play that either. I don't 100%. Care. He's going to be like, no, not doing it.
I'm in a super deep fantasy basketball league, like 30 teams, real salary, the whole thing, like huge nerdy situation. And I actually have Michael Beasley on my team. Like, I picked him up thinking that he was going to be the reserve five. I was going into this season like Michael Beasley's the reserve five.
Yeah.
Now it seems like he is more the insurance policy. On the days that LeBron wants to take a rest, you can plug Michael Beasley right in. Same type of player. Obviously not same talent, but like same type of player on the court. It seems like that's going to be the situation. Mo Wagner, I'm a little afraid because like Svi was playing better than Mo, in my opinion, in preseason, and he's getting 0 minutes in the regular season.
Yeah.
I think he played a little. Did he play the first game? I know he didn't play last night.
Svi, maybe.
Wait, did he play last
garbage
night?
Time. No. No, they only played 7 guys last night. Or no, I'm sorry, 10 guys played last night. So, yeah, kind of a short rotation there. But, yeah, 7 double-digit scores, too. But, yeah, a whole bunch of DNP CDs for guys.
That's pretty nuts. I mean, I like Mo. I just don't know if he's the answer at center. And just Zubats has been a killer. Like, I remember seeing him in Summer League. I was sitting next to my friend. And anytime he did anything, I was like, he's the white Shaq. He's the white Shaq. This guy's the greatest player of all time. And then 3 years later, he's not playing at all.
Oh, man, put him on a two-way contract.
Honestly, I like Caruso, man. I think we should give him a full contract and then put Zubats on the two-way.
Dude, at least he plays with confidence, man. Zubats doesn't have any.
Yeah, and Caruso, I don't know. I love the guys who are like, maybe I'm not the most talented guy on the court, but I'm going to be the hardest worker. Yeah. Kind of like what Jimmy Butler said.
Yeah.
So speaking of Jimmy Butler, bringing that up, I thought we could talk that before we go into the more general news, just because this is something that is kind of separate from the general news, because this is like the top tier general news going on right now. Jimmy Butler, is he on the Wolves by Christmas?
No.
No? Okay. Who do you think? If you had to, if someone was like, you have to put all your life savings betting on one team, who do you think is going to get Jimmy Butler?
Unfortunately, I'm not familiar enough with teams like salary situations and things like that. But
yeah, I feel that.
I don't know, in terms of, like, a team who could really use a player like him to kind of go over the top, I would imagine he goes to a team in the East. So, geez, I don't know. Like, I guess it'd be kind of cool to see him play for, like, the Pacers or something.
That would be pretty dope. I actually would like that a lot.
But, I mean, like
That'd
I said,
be a good defensive team.
I don't know if that's feasible at all.
I, from the beginning, said Clippers were going to be the team. I know Miami made the most noise, but Clippers I always thought were in the best situated team to get him in terms of pieces and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, I really don't know. It's one of those situations where, kind of like with the Spurs, nobody expected Toronto to trade for Kawhi Leonard. They weren't rumored or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think it might be Houston. I think Daryl Morey, because Daryl Morey was one of the very first teams. The Rockets were one of the very first teams to be in the race for it. And everyone's like, they can't offer enough. They can't offer enough. They don't have the pieces. But Daryl Morey is the type of guy who's going to keep calling you and keep calling you and keep calling you. And if the Timberwolves get desperate at some point, I think that will make him a championship contender. Okay. I don't know if they can afford losing two players, though. in the two solid rotation players, and then getting Jimmy Butler back and still being good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, losing Luke Mbamute and Trevor Ariza was already a pretty big blow, exactly. If you ask me. So, yeah, that's kind of the interesting part about this, I think, though, is obviously the Timberwolves wouldn't want to give him to a team in the West, but when push comes to shove, what's going to happen? You know?
Who's going to be offering the trades? Because they're losing him for nothing next year if they don't trade him. They have to take a trade. Yeah. So I don't know if Daryl Morey calls, because I heard the offer that they wanted from the Rockets was Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker, and like a pick or whatever. Yeah. But it was it was centered around those two players. And I don't know if the Rockets can afford it. Like you said, they already lost Ariza. They already lost Luke Mbamute. Like, how many more defenders can they just give to the by the wayside before they become a legitimately bad defensive team? I don't know. I'm thinking I'm thinking we do some music real quick and then come back, do some more general NBA news.
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, cool. Well, we will be back. Those were all fight songs for Brandon Ingram. So that was dedicated to UBI, if you're around. I also heard some people are calling him Brandon Swingrum now, so so might not be. I might start using that. Just want to remind you all that you're listening to KXSC Los Angeles. You can listen online at KXSC.org, on the airwaves at 1560 AM, and on your smartphones with the TuneIn Radio app. We are a service of Southern California. So during the break, I told you how, or I said how I have a number two team now. So basically the way I do it is the Lakers are always my number one team, and I always switch my number two team. With my number two team, I'm fickle as hell. Like any team, whatever team like catches my eye, that's my number two team.
Okay.
Last season it was the Bucks. Really loved what the Bucks were doing. I think this season is Utah, because when Utah played the Warriors, Utah's always been a top five team for me, and when they played the Warriors, I think day before yesterday,
mm-hmm.
that was one hell of a game. Did you watch it?
No.
But that's the one with the Jonas
Drip. Winner, yeah.
Yeah, that one was, it was just so much fun to watch, and Utah really took it to the Warriors. I was pretty impressed with that. But I was going to ask you, do you have a, like, what's your situation with your number two team in the NBA? Is it one that switches or same one usually?
Yeah, I don't have, like, a permanent one or anything like that. I would say the Raptors, because I'm a big DeMar DeRozan guy personally, the whole L.A. thing and this, that, and the other. But, yeah, I guess I would have to say the Bucks right now, honestly.
For real?
They're just a team that are a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, I mean, Giannis, the Greek freak, is great. And they're just a team that's, like, been on the edge now for a couple of years, and I'm ready to see them kind of, like, take that next step.
Now that they have, like, a proper coach, center, an actual center, things like that. Have you seen any of their games? I saw a little bit of one of their games, but...
No, man, I haven't really been able to watch too much not-Lakers games, like, full games. You know, I don't have, like, League Pass or anything like that, so I'm kind of restricted to just seeing stuff on YouTube or SportsCenter.
I think League Pass is free for like 2 weeks for people who have DirecTV. So if you know anyone with DirecTV, just post up at their house.
All right.
So I kind of wanted to go through as well, and I think you have the standings in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at, right now there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 7 teams that are undefeated and 7 teams that have not won a game yet. So I was thinking we could go through them all, maybe if you want to give a little, just a thought or two on each one.
Okay.
So the first undefeated team that I have written down is the Toronto Raptors. Do you think they are the best team in the East?
No.
Ooh, who do you think it is?
The Celtics.
Okay, I would agree with that. But are you a Toronto fan this year now that DeMar DeRozan is gone, or...
Yeah, no, definitely. I still like their team. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, he's great. And yeah, they're playing obviously really well so far too. So
I really hope he gets back to like almost MVP form, because I like Kawhi Leonard. Even though like a lot of the stuff that was going down, I don't like his uncle. I'll say that. Like from what I've read about him and stuff, mm-hmm. but Kawhi himself, I don't really have a problem though, and he's a really fun guy. So
that laugh, man.
Yeah, it was just the greatest moment of the summer for me. So second undefeated team, your number two team, the Milwaukee Bucks. We already talked a little bit about them. Do you think they can go far in the playoffs this year, or do you think they're a second round out?
Unfortunately, I mean, it obviously all kind of depends on how the top eight align at the end, but yeah, if they end up playing the Raptors or the Celtics early, I think they're done.
Unfortunately,
even the Sixers, if the Sixers figure it out.
Do you think Giannis has the potential to be the best player in the East?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think he is right now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. It's between him, Kawhi Leonard, and a healthy Joel Embiid.
Okay,
I probably go Giannis, but I think Kawhi has a chance of ending the season as the best player in the East.
Yeah, Giannis is number one for me because, A, Kawhi is coming off of an injury, obviously, and I don't think Joel Embiid's played more than, like, 30 games ever.
That's what I meant, healthy yeah. Joel Embiid, but yeah. That's all obviously more in a hypothetical situation. And this one kind of surprised me, the Detroit Pistons.
I know, right?
Do you say Detroit or Detroit?
Detroit.
Detroit, okay. I always say Detroit, and then in my head I'm like, why did I say Detroit and not Detroit?
Honestly, I don't know where that comes from. I worked with a copy editor that's from Michigan, and he called it Detroit. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. I used to call it Colorado, and then I met a bunch of Coloradians, and they all say Colorado instead. So, I mean, you gotta, I guess they're the ones who would know best, so just say what they say. What do you think, Pistons? Is this a fluke? You think they're for real this season? Do they make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they'll make the playoffs because the East is the East, but I mean, but yeah, undefeated, you can call them that, but I mean, it's just 2 games old.
True.
They'll regress to the mean, you know, Blake Griffin's nice for them and all that kind of stuff, but yeah.
I think a lot of their success or failure will ride on Reggie Jackson. Not that I don't like Ish Smith. I was gonna say not that I don't dislike him, but not that I don't like him. He's a good player. He gets what, like 8 assists a game. Pretty solid guy. But Reggie Jackson, he's supposed to be their number three or number two guy. Like they took him from Oklahoma City for him to kind of thrive in their system. So, and with a new coach, who knows? Maybe that's what they needed as well. Because Stan Van, I don't know how much he inspired his players in terms of being a GM. The coach GM thing, I'm so excited for that to be done. Like, Tibbs is the last one standing, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Or, no, Doc. Isn't Doc?
No, I think Doc, they took away his GM role, but the demotion. But he still kept his job, so that's still partial victory because a lot of those guys just lose it outright. And then if we go to the West, this is a team I actually am pretty excited to talk to you about. The New Orleans Pelicans. Playoff team?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think they've proved themselves as kind of, they'll be kind of in the mix every year. I mean, after what they did to Portland in the playoffs last year. I mean, and now that they have Julius Randle, obviously the stat line that that they put up on the first night, I mean, I don't think will repeat itself all the time. I mean, I think it was, I forgot if it was T-Mac or Chauncey Billups on the jump the day after, bet that it would that stat line wouldn't happen again the rest of the season. I think it will because they have that kind of talent. But they're just super unique in that sense that they're just so big and they're so talented down low that, you know, I think teams are going to have a hard time stopping that.
I was a little worried about their, not worried, I shouldn't say, but I was like kind of confused by their Randle acquisition because I was like Randle, Anthony Davis together on the floor. But the way I've been seeing it is Randle is their sixth man, and he's kind of the, when Anthony Davis is off the floor for them, it's a mess. Like they need Anthony Davis. So he's kind of the, hey, Anthony Davis is sitting, I'm going to get us 2 easy points. Because Julius Randle, as Laker fans, we know this, whatever his shortcomings were, he was someone who could get 2 points, like, when needed. When there was a situation where, okay, we need to ISO a guy, let's pass it into Julius Randle, let him go in. So I kind of like the vibe of their team, and Mirotić has lost his mind. I think he just goes blind every game and just shoots the ball, eyes roll in the back of the head, swishes everything. Ever since he lost that beard, man, he's been on a whole other level.
One thing about Julius Randle, I think he's kind of playing with a chip on his shoulder a little bit, maybe after. I think he might feel a little hard done by the way the Lakers treated him.
100%.
So, I think that he's going to, you know, I think he really wants to prove himself this year. And then, one other thing, what's his name? Elfrid Payton. Watch out, man.
He was a real spicy pickup because they got him, the minimum? Like, 1 year minimum for a super young point guard, Rondo-esque. So Rondo brought, like, leadership and all that stuff. But in terms of, like, their skill styles, I think Payton does remind me a lot of a younger Rondo, where good defensively, long guy, good ball distributor, but just not a good shooter whatsoever. Yeah. But I definitely like that team. I didn't have them making the playoffs before the season. Like when I did my West rankings, I was like, you know what, Pelicans, Anthony Davis is amazing. I don't think they're gonna make it. But seeing these two games, and I know, like you said, it's just 2 games, but they've been playing like crazy these last 2 days.
Yeah, 149 points in the second game and something ridiculous in the first one, too.
Dude, we're just, like, scratching the surface of the craziest pace the NBA has ever seen. Every game is above 100 points now.
Yeah.
Like, there were times where it was like, oh, wow, this is a 40-point or a 50-point half. This is a pretty high-scoring game. Now it was what? I think Utah and the Warriors, it was 80-something, 60-something at half.
That's ridiculous.
At half. It's insane. So continuing on this list, the Denver Nuggets. Do you think they will make the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. Dark horse.
Dark horse playoffs. Yeah. So who do you think's out on the playoffs? Do you think Portland's out for the West?
I think the Spurs, man. The Spurs might
be out.
I think the Spurs are teetering. You know, I mean, obviously DeMar DeRozan is nice, and, you know, Pop is going to do great things with them. But, I mean, just kind of a little bit of a franchise in turmoil, I guess. I don't really know if they have an identity, you know, so... yeah, they're kind of on the outside looking in. Or no, I wouldn't go so far to say that, but definitely not, you know. Maybe their 21-year postseason streak might end this year.
That would be insane. If they make it this year, I kind of just want them to make the playoffs until Pop retires, just because it's like, just give them the playoff spot. Out of respect, just give them the playoff spot. Yeah. But we'll see if they can continue that. The next team... This is another one I'm interested to see if you think they'll make the playoffs. The Golden State Warriors.
What?
I think they have a chance for the 8th seed this year.
Dude, maybe.
Do you think anyone can beat the Golden State Warriors this year? Do you think anyone has more than a 15% chance of beating the Golden State Warriors in a 7-game series?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, who would you say? Who would you bet your money on?
You know, I mean... If the Pelicans maybe put it together, I'm obviously pretty high on the Pelicans. If the Celtics get it all figured out with Gordon Hayward back and stuff, I mean, it's basketball. I think crazier things have happened, honestly. And, I mean, how does Steve Kerr keep them interested? You know, four finals in a row. Obviously, I guess, like, you know, the three-peat is going to be on their mind, but they still have to slog through an 82-game regular season, you know, to get to, you know, like, when it really matters. So...
For sure. And it's one of those situations where every team is giving them their best shot. Like, Utah, that stadium during that game, for the second game in the season, they were going nuts. Like, Utah's a pretty loud court in general, but once the Warriors are in town, everyone's going crazy. Everyone's expecting to give them their all.
Yeah, everyone wants to see them go down, including me.
Last team on the undefeated teams. This is one I'm kind of confused on. Obviously, the Lakers have played them already. The Portland Trailblazers. Are they in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, yeah, Dame Lillard is good.
What do you think of the rumors that Lakers might trade Lonzo Ball to the Trailblazers for Damian Lillard?
I don't know about that.
Don't know if it's true or don't know if you'd want to do it?
I don't think they should do it.
Okay. So that's really interesting you say that, because I'm one of the only people I know who is like, maybe we should think about this before. Because everyone I talked to is like, get Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard is a star. Him and LeBron have wanted to play with each other. Yeah. I think in our Slack, somebody said that for Laker Film Room, it was someone was talking about, when did this hype start? And then it was me. I was just like, Bill Simmons says one thing and everyone goes crazy. And then another guy was like, no, like, these rumors have been around for a pretty long time. But I think Lonzo's special. Yeah. And I think we should see him out.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm a big, like, patience person, you know? Like, kind of going back to Brandon Ingram. It's his third year. Hopefully this is, like, the breakout year that we've been waiting for. So, yeah, obviously Dame Lillard is a walking bucket. But, you know, I think he likes being able to kind of run the show up there in Portland. And they've got a good thing going on. So, yeah, obviously he does want to play with LeBron, but maybe not yet. And I think the Lakers, instead of trying to do 100 different things, should maybe just, you know, stick to what they've got and see what happens.
Stick to a game plan, yeah. It's cool to hear you say that, because Laker fans have that reputation of not being patient, trade everyone, get the best free agent. And even with D'Angelo Russell, I thought everyone... don't get me wrong, I'm glad we did that trade, because we were getting Lonzo and we got Timofey Mozgov off the book. So the trade, I do it 10 times out of 10. But, like, all these Laker fans were like, ah, D'Angelo Russell, he's nothing. Like, he didn't make it. And then as soon as he goes to the Nets, he has a stellar year. And everyone's like, oh my God, why did we trade D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah.
But, I mean, this year he seems to be struggling, so maybe they were right at some point. Yeah. But I always had faith in D'Angelo Russell.
I think people underestimate what goes on off the court when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or, like, how players play, you know, how well they do in certain places.
Progression as a human being. Like, imagine yourself at 19, imagine yourself at 23.
Exactly.
There's a huge personal, just personal, not physical, like, inside, like, maturing process that just...
Exactly.
You can't expect that from a first-year player.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe with certain exceptions, but...
Yeah.
So, those were the teams that are undefeated. Now we're going to look at the other end of the of the standings, where we have teams without a win. And this one, there's some surprising teams on this list. There's some not-so-surprising teams on this list, but first one being the Washington Wizards. Do you blow it up if you're the GM of the Wizards?
It's very tempting. You know, I like John Wall, you know, Summer of Separation. If you follow him on Instagram, it's pretty funny. Yeah, they're kind of, you were asking me for, like, my second team. I've always kind of, you know, like, low-key liked the Wizards.
Yeah,
just always kind of, like, rooted for them.
But yeah. Reason, or
just, yeah,
big Brandon Jennings fan when he was on the team?
I liked it more when he was on the Bucks, actually. But, just mostly, like, John Wall. I just like his game and stuff and, like, who he is. But yeah, like I said, if I'm the Wizards, it's very tempting to blow it up.
I just think there are situations where you can't have teams where their clear top two are both point guard shooting guards.
Weird.
Like a Portland Trailblazers, like a Washington Wizards. Those are third team. Like Warriors had Draymond Green contending for second best player. Before they got Durant, obviously, yeah. but. I think they got to trade one of Bradley Beal or John Wall.
Exactly.
John Wall signed that Supermax, so I doubt anyone trades for him. He's like a $40 million a year guy.
Yeah.
So just, I don't know, Bradley Beal for a really solid power forward, really solid center, I don't think would be a really bad idea. I thought they should have signed DeMarcus Cousins because him and John Wall played together in college and apparently are really close.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like a fit that would have been perfect if he went there. Second team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Do you have any message for the people of Cleveland? Give up on the NBA, never look again, or do you think they have a chance of being something this year?
Yeah, I think I'd rather watch the Browns.
Damn. That's cold, man. That is ice cold. I don't know. I thought there were another team that I thought might not be bad, and then I watched one of their games, and it's like George Hill, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love. So basically the same lineup without LeBron. And I'm just thinking, like, wow, that is not a good lineup outside of Kevin Love.
It's just deflating to lose a huge player like that, you know? We saw it when he left the first time, even when LeBron left Miami.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a huge deflator for them. And then, you know, after losing in the finals again and stuff like that, it's tough to come back from that.
Yeah, I'm just glad he got the people of Cleveland one championship at least.
Yeah.
It's sad because that one championship, too, it has the whole, like, Draymond Green was suspended. And, I mean, I'm guilty of saying that, too. But in the end, no matter what, they won a championship. So that's something they can at least hang their hat on. Another not-so-surprising one, the Chicago Bulls. What did you think of them giving Jabari Parker and Zach LaVine so much money?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't really know what to think. I mean, LaVine hasn't proved it at all. I forgot what his shooting clip was the other night, but not worthy of that money.
Not great.
Yeah. So it's going to be a long season for the Bulls.
Do you think they're progressing towards anything?
It's hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You want the Bulls to be good. Like, the league is better, in my opinion, when the big cities are doing well as well. Like Chicago, New York, L.A.
Yeah.
When those three teams are good, so many more people are invested in the NBA just because the populations are so high. But one final one, and this one's not surprising at all, the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, man.
Any thoughts on Trae Young or Atlanta Hawks in general?
No, I mean, it's hard when something bad to get worse, but, I mean, they lose Dennis Schroeder and stuff, and, man, garbage. I'm not watching it.
That's all I have to say. Yeah, I like Trae Young. I think Trae Young will be better than a lot of people expect just because the whole Luka Doncic trade, everyone's like, Dallas totally messed up, which maybe they did, not saying that they didn't, but I think Trae Young's value has gone so low in the eyes of casual fans, more intense, but any fans of the NBA. So for his sake, I really hope he comes out doing well. He might shoot 1%, 10%, or whatever. But
well, he's certainly in a good situation. No pressure. You know, it's a small market team, I guess, if you will, in terms of like the NBA size.
And no expectations whatsoever.
Yeah, so.
The next team, now we're starting with the West. We already talked about it, the Lakers. Where do you see the Lakers finishing in the standings by the end of the year?
I think they're going to be in that, like, 5-7 range.
5-7?
Honestly, maybe, like, 45 wins at the most.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not off to a good start. And even when the before the season started, so many people were talking about LeBron James usually struggles with new teams at first, and then there's always people freak out, and then they say, should we fire the coach, and all that stuff. And it's weird, because I expected this. I was like, okay, we're going to lose the first few games, like, just stay calm, and then the Lakers are 0-2 right now, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, we got to do something, we got to trade everyone, I'm freaking out. But hopefully we can start getting back to wins, or at least get that end of November, early December run where some teams, when they really start to click, they
it's a tough schedule from the start.
Yeah, man. So. The Trailblazers and
the Rockets
back to back.
Coming to town.
It's tough, man. But at least we're getting it out of the way now, kind of like a baptism under fire situation.
Yeah.
To be in a really bad situation altogether and then try to fight your way out of it. This team, I was surprised as well. The Oklahoma City Thunder. I know they're missing Russell Westbrook, but Paul George, Steven Adams, a solid defender, and someone like Jeremy Grant, Dennis Schroeder being your backup, like starting worthy player. Do you think this team will ever see a championship or a Western Conference Finals? And do you think Russell Westbrook can come back at full strength?
Yeah, I think Westbrook will come back to full strength. That guy's a crazy athlete. So, and he's super motivated all the time, you know.
Me versus everyone. Everyone hates
me. Exactly. Yeah, he's got a lot to prove. And then a Western Conference Finals. That's just too tough, man. I don't think so. I think a lot of things have to go right. Obviously, you don't hope for any of these things, but you know, I feel like some other the top teams have to get some injuries and stuff like that.
Injuries, suspension, just, some sort of something.
Yeah, the West is just as strong as it's ever been. There's some stat like the MVP from the last like 5 years or something like that, or maybe even a little bit further back. They're all in the West.
I haven't seen that stat, but it doesn't. I mean, I'm not surprised when you even look at the All-Star games, like the East-West voting. Like, you're gonna have someone like Nicholas Batum be in the running for Eastern Conference All-Star because there's just no like superstars on in that league.
Yeah, they're smart for changing up the All-Star format.
Yeah, for doing the team captains one. But even for the betting, like, we're gonna have some good Western Conference players not make it, but then like another player from the East that like maybe not as worthy, like a Dwight Howard. Like Dwight Howard might be in the running too. It would be insane. And last but not least, a team that, as someone who's been a fan since the early 2000s, like myself, is pretty familiar with, the Sacramento Sacramento Kings. Are the Sacramento Kings the most dysfunctional team in the league?
Maybe not the most dysfunctional, but they're certainly confusing, and I don't think anybody really knows what's going on. Or I mean, Marvin Bagley, obviously that'll be a lot of fun to watch and stuff like that, but I mean, I don't know what else to say.
It's crazy, like, their team, it seems like they've drafted these high-upside big men, Willie Cauley-Stein, Harry Giles, there's another guy I was going to say. I can't remember. There's a third guy, and then Marvin Bagley is who they end up drafting.
They have Zach Randolph, too.
Oh, yeah, and in terms of vets, you have Zach Randolph, Costa Kufos. Like, they seem to be very, which is funny because Vlade is a center and he's running that team and all he wants is center. So he's like, give me every center you have. And it's crazy that when it came to, they had the number two pick. Everyone was thinking Doncic is worthy of a number one. Ayton goes first. And the Kings kind of fall into Doncic, like someone who would be a perfect fit with, I mean, maybe not with De'Aaron Fox, just because they're both kind of ball dominant. But someone, if you had a lineup of De'Aaron Fox, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Luka Doncic, Zach Randolph, and Willie Cauley-Stein, like I like that lineup better than what they're throwing out now. And it's just, I was really disappointed they took Bagley. Not because I think Bagley is bad, but because Bagley doesn't fit their team need. Like he's just another big man, another big forward that you're just throwing in, but
yeah, a lot of potential. So
yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he turns out to be the next Chris Webber. Then fantastic. So we've gone through Spitgate. We've gone through the Lakers. We've gone through the defeated undefeated teams, and we have about like 4 minutes left, 5 minutes left. Is there anything that you're seeing this season? Anything you want to talk about? Bring to the masses of the millions of listeners.
I don't know.
Do you have an MVP choice this year?
Oh, man.
MVP guys?
Anthony Davis, man. I feel like he's going to really go for it. this year. And yeah, I said it once earlier in the broadcast. Just I'm just super high on New Orleans, man. I'm really excited to see what they can make happen over there.
If New Orleans gets a top four seed, hands down, Anthony Davis is the second unanimous MVP ever. Like, that would be insane to, like, without any major improvements and losing a DeMarcus Cousins, the team gets better because Anthony Davis just assumes this more alpha dog role. It would be absolutely insane.
Yeah. I think it's kind of been a blessing in disguise to lose DeMarcus Cousins, at least from Anthony Davis's perspective.
I would totally agree with that. I would have hoped he didn't go to the Warriors, but I was kind of interested to see him leave the Pelicans and think, okay, what can Anthony Davis do when he's back? Like, now that he's once again is the top dog. And I think Nikola Mirotic might be the best, like, second banana type. Actually, no, that's Klay Thompson. I shouldn't go too far. But you know what I mean? Like, he's a really top second banana type of guy. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to see. If they can get high in the playoffs, that's a team. That's a Cinderella story. That would be absolutely amazing. Well, Daniel, that's about the end of our show. Thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully we can have you back again. I think you're from the LA area, so you're pretty close by.
Yeah. I hope to come back all the time, honestly. This is a lot of fun. This is my first time being on the radio, so this is a blast.
I'm sure anyone who is listening is surprised because you handled that like that was your 100th show. But it was great to have you. And to the listeners, we'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great rest of your weekend, guys.
Thanks for having me.